You are listening to Ignite, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
It is a great joy for me to be with you and a very humbling opportunity to share God's word on this very, very important occasion as we walk together as Lutherans and Anglicans. And it's very humbling for me to stand in front of you, all of you very experienced pastors, theologians, bishops. So I share a reflection on the scripture on Disciples Life 2020. And I'm going to look at the master disciple maker, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to reflect on some of the things that he did and said about making disciples, and I will reflect on it as a disciple myself. And I'm going to be grounded in Matthew chapter 10, a long chapter, chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 42, one of the longest chapters in the Gospel of Matthew, where Matthew tries to put together all of Christ's instructions about a disciple. And I like calling that chapter the handbook of discipleship. So disciples handbook given by Christ Jesus as Jesus gives the teachings and as Matthew tries to summarize and cram as much as possible in one chapter on some instructions. So I'm going to reflect on 10 highlights from Matthew 10. So you can easily remember 10 highlights from Matthew 10. Imagine going through 10 points with an African preacher, and good luck. It's going to be a very short afternoon.
Don't give them a water glass.
The Gospel of Matthew, very interesting. One of the longest gospels out of the four gospels. Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, the birth of Jesus and the visit of the Magi and the escape of Jesus all the way to Egypt. Matthew chapter 3, the baptism of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus being tested by Satan. And he starts to call his disciples in Matthew chapter 4. And then Matthew goes to chapter 5, 6, and 7, which we traditionally call Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' teaching as compiled and summarized by Matthew. And then he goes to Matthew 8 and 9, the miracles of Jesus and the words in actions, signs, wonders, and miracles. And then at the end of Matthew chapter 9 is a transition to the second part of Matthew. And there, he takes a stop. He takes a pause to complete and conclude the solo ministry of Jesus, now to go into the multiples, to take the ministry of Jesus, multiplying himself into 12 new disciples that he have been recruiting through teaching, through miracles. And now he stops and looks at the people and he says, look at the crowd. They have been harassed. They've been helpless, attacked by Satan. And he said, the biggest problem of this flock is they are like a sheep without a shepherd. And he says, then what is the solution? And then he looked at the solution and he looked at his disciples and said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That is the unresolved problem for the last 2,000 years, unresolved problem. The harvest is plentiful in the United States, in China, in Africa, in the Middle East. But the workers are few, and in some places they are getting even fewer. So then what is the solution? He said, pray and raise up more disciples so that the people of God can be ministered to. And then he goes straight into chapter 10. In chapter 10 is the handbook that instructs and gives us a solution to that problem. And I'm going to highlight some of the things. But before I go into Matthew 10, Shall we pause for a word of prayer? Jesus, this is the word above all words. This is not a word of a king or a philosopher or a theologian. This is the word of God. And you are God. These words came from your lips. This word came from your heart. This word came from your divinity, from your eternal power, from your eternal wisdom. As a broken, sinful human being, help me to communicate and help us to hear and get something as a take home that will touch, heal, strengthen, restore, and encourage us to do what you want us to do. And I pray this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, and the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. The first one, as he starts, he says, he called his disciples to him. Three words: he, his, him. Discipleship is about one person. Three different words describing the same person, Jesus. He, Jesus, called his disciples to himself. He, his, him. Discipleship is about Jesus. It's word and sacrament. It is a person. It is about Jesus. And the most interesting thing is he called them by name. And all of their names is listed. Matthew, Mark, all of the names that Jesus called by their names. Peter, Andrew, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, and Simon, Judas, all of them by name. Discipleship is not an idea. It is not a mythology. It is not a fiction. It is not some kind of metaphysics. It is the personal touch. Disciples are known by name. So the first point is he called his disciples to himself. So the first point is Jesus is the center of discipleship. The second point, once he called them, the Bible says, on verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out. These 12 Jesus sent out. Still the sent out, the missio. He called them, he trained them, he developed them. Now he sent them out. Discipleship is about being sent out. They were not perfect. They were not completely trained. They did not know all of the dogmatics, all of the hermeneutics, all of the sciences, all of the exegesis, but he sent them out so that they can learn as they minister, so they can minister as they learn. It is a continuous relationship of growing and serving, but he sent them out in the mission field. Jesus is the one who sent them out. The third point that Matthew gives us in this scripture is once he sent them out, the Bible clearly says he sent them out with these instructions. We are instructed. We are people under an instruction. We're not people sent to do whatever we want to do, wherever we want to do, whenever we want to do, however we want to do. We are under the authority of instruction. That instruction is called the Word of God. We are under the Word of God. Disciples are people living under a clear instruction. We live not above, not next to, but under the instruction of Jesus Christ. We are people who live under instruction. This Sunday, I took my son to Boy Scouts. And we were there and they were teaching them how to use a knife. And we went with a sharp knife and his mom told me, be careful. And I got an instruction from my wife. So I was under an instruction. Every moment I was saying, be careful, because I'm told to bring you home with all your fingers on your hand. And he did everything, and at the end, the scout leader gave us a soap, and he says, now you're going to shape anything out of that soap. And we shaped, and the knife was so messy, and he wanted to clean it. And he wanted to go home very quickly. And I told him how to clean it. The instruction is, use something and keep it away from yourself. Don't go to the sharp side. Clean it. He did not listen to the instruction. So he cut his finger, and it was bleeding. And then the team leader, the scout leader, took him and washed. And while he was washing, he was telling him, you should have listened to the instruction. We are people under instruction. The reason the church is suffering in the U.S., in Europe, and everywhere else is when we take ourselves under, away from the instruction. We lose people, we lose authority, we lose impact, we lose influence. Jesus sent out his 12 with an instruction. Go here, do not go there. Whatever he said in Matthew 10, he improved it in Matthew 28 because he says, do not go to the Gentiles, but in Matthew 28, go into all the world. But what he's telling them is instruction. That instruction is the word of God, and we are people under the word of God. The fourth highlight that Matthew is giving us. In that instruction, he gives us our responsibilities. Our responsibilities, we can summarize them into three words. Preach, heal, and give. He said, preach the word. And in that instruction, he says, preach, heal, and give. You have received freely, give freely. We are told what to do. Our primary responsibility is to preach the word of God. To sow the living seed of God. Preach, preach, preach. Most of us stand behind pulpits every Sunday. Let's preach the word of God. Let's retell the story of Jesus. Let's communicate the heart of God. The word of God. This word is inspired. This word is living. This word is full of authority. This word is alive. This word has power, gives life. And we are told to give this word to the world. We don't understand everything we preach. We don't have authority over everything we say. We are messengers to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Preach and heal the sick. Pray for the sick. Our God is alive. He's healing the sick. He's raising up the dead. And he's casting out demons, driving out demons out of people. That word is still alive. I have seen it. I have done it. I have witnessed it. Our God is alive. Jesus is no more dead. He is resurrected, doing amazing things around the world. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have responsibility. In that responsibility, Paul, Matthew gives us here, in Matthew 10, that is to preach, to give, and to heal. And then the fifth highlight, one of the biggest concerns in discipleship and in ministry is a question of resources. How are we going to fund this? How are we going to pay for this? How are we going to pay for discipleship? And Jesus gives a clear instruction on apostolic resources. He was saying, God provides. You go and be faithful. God provides. Don't carry gold or silver. Don't rely on things that you have piled up. Don't rely on those resources that you can see or count. He says, a worker is worth his keep. That means you work, you do, and I will pay. How did we pay for this conference? How are we here? All of us, one way or the other, the people of God, the resources of God, paid for our ticket, paid for our hotel, paid for our food. That means our God is still financing discipleship. That is how we are here. We're not here because we're rich. We're not here because we have so much piled up. Our God is still resourcing. Do we have a lot? Probably not. Are we worried? No, because our God provides. This conference is blessed by God. The same is true for our mission. The same is true for our ministry. Apostolic resources, God provides. Don't carry extra stuff. Don't carry those things that you have and that you can count. The SIGs highlight. And this is the big one. Jesus says, now let me tell you about the apostolic context. You are going to be persecuted. That is the normal for discipleship. The abnormal is to live without persecution. As the church father Tertullian said, Christianity without persecution is abnormal. We will be persecuted. He says, I am going to send you like a sheep among the wolves. Then what will happen? He uses all of these words. They will hand you over. They will flog you into their synagogues. You will be brought before the governors. You will be arrested. You will be betrayed. All men will hate you. You will be persecuted. Why is he piling all these words over and over and over again? He is saying, you will be persecuted. But he said, don't worry. The Holy Spirit is going to help you. The best friend of the church during persecution is the Holy Spirit. Most churches that go under persecution come out revived and renewed, re-energized. There is all the time a testament of God's living presence. You will be opposed. You will be betrayed. You will be arrested. You will be blamed. You will experience opposition. But in all that, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to give you the right words to say, the right things to do, the right ways to go. Discipleship is about relying on the Holy Spirit. Learning to see the invisibility of God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Learning to hear the voice of God. The best friend of the church in the world is God, the Holy Spirit, who is always present with us. Teaching us, helping us, speaking through us, preparing the hearts of people when we speak. The best friend of the church under persecution in the world is the Holy Spirit. And when we ask, when we are open for the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, our ministry is well. Jesus mentions, as Matthew summarizes this journey of discipleship in Matthew 10. The seventh highlight. Now when we go through under this persecution, he gives us the apostolic security. And you are going to be secure. You are going to be protected. He said, do not be afraid. Even the hairs on your head are counted. That means I am involved in the most detailed parts of your life. I will protect you. I will be with you. So, follow me by faith. Do not be afraid. That is God's protection. And we dared to go to the Middle East, and now we are going to the United Arab Emirates to do our first mission and our missionary and in about a couple of weeks. And I asked some of the pastors to go with me, and I went to Pastor Melinda and I said, let's go to the United Arab Emirates for mission. And she was hesitant. And then, how much is the cost? And then we communicated, and she says, you better buy a round ticket because I want to come home. not a one-way ticket, but United Arab Emirates. And then we announced that we were going to the United Arab Emirates, and the missionary is excited, and she has a small group, and they are excited, and we're getting ready to go there. And we did that, a little blurb on Facebook, and shared that, and people heard on Facebook. And on Sunday evening, this Sunday evening, I get a call, guess where, from Saudi Arabia. And I get a call from Saudi Arabia, and he said, we've been doing ministry in Makkah, we've been doing ministry in some of the towns in Saudi Arabia, and he said, why don't you come and help us? I said, take it easy. To Saudi Arabia, he said, yeah, we want you to come. Do they allow? He said, yeah, a miracle is happening. Now Saudi is opening up. Even Ravi Zacharias came and did a conference and went home. God is opening doors. So he said, don't be afraid. Come. My friends, God is doing wonderful things around the world. In our cities, sometimes we are afraid of sharing the gospel. In discipleship, one of the life of a disciple is daring to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone, everywhere. Daring to speak about Jesus everywhere because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He says, do not be afraid. The eighth one I love. He said, the eighth highlight is, if anyone who wants to follow me should carry his cross and follow me. And I was reflecting on that. Carrying the cross and following Jesus. What does that mean? Carrying the cross and following Jesus. Cross is not something to be carried. Cross is something that kills you, which means stops you. And gospel is unstoppable. And Jesus is saying, Satan brings cross in front of you to stop you. And whatever Satan throws at you, whether it is your health crisis or finance crisis, or whether it is problem or challenge or whatever that you face, pick it up, carry it, and follow me. Don't wait until it is resolved. Don't wait until it is removed. Don't tell until it is answered. Carry it and follow me. Why? A life of a disciple is unstoppable. If you love it, shout amen. Amen. Carry your cross. A cross is thrown at you to stop you, to kill you, to distract you, to delay you. Pick it up. Carry it and follow me. And once you do that, Satan will throw another cross. Pick it up, carry it, and follow me. Because once I am in you, I have defeated that cross. I have been crucified. I have been buried. I have opened the grave, and death is behind me. Cross is behind me. The Church of Jesus Christ is a community who carries their cross and follow Jesus. We're not serving because it is easy. We're not serving because it is answered or resolved. We carry our cross. Everything that tries to stop us, we pick it up, we carry it, and we follow. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. And the ninth remark or comment that Matthew puts in, these are instructions of Jesus for his disciples. The ninth is he saying, you go with my authority. I just enjoyed this word on Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 40. He said, he who receives you, receives me. He who receives me, receives the one who sent me. Discipleship is being lost in Jesus. It is no more about you. He who receives you, receives me. Who receives me receives the one who sent me. It is being one with Jesus. You lose your name, you lose your pride, you lose your confidence, you lose your human identity, your human stature, your human status, your human name, your human denomination, your human race, your human education. Anything that you count, you lose it and you are lost in him. It is not about you. It is about him. You are no more in existence. He exists. I heard a story once. I went back to Ethiopia, and it was the fifth anniversary of African Union. And this is a big organization that brings all the 52 African countries together. And that African, in that African Union, they were celebrating and remembering how that organization was created, and all the credit was going to Emperor Haile Selassie. And there was one woman who was very unhappy because her husband was Secretary of State or Minister of Foreign Affairs for Ethiopia. He was the one who wrote all the documents, who did all the work. He shuttled from West Africa to East Africa to North Africa to South Africa, did all the negotiation. So many months and years she spent alone while he was doing all the work. And he finalized, and a document was ready, event was prepared, Haile Selassie shows up, signs the paper, takes all the credit. And she said, how are they not mentioning my name, the name of my husband, in the middle of all this anniversary? Everybody's talking about the king. There is one thing that she did not understand. When you serve a king, you do all the work, and the king takes all the credit. If you're looking for a credit, forget it. If you're looking for promotion, forget it. We are in the business where we decrease so that he may. That is discipleship. Whoever receives me, whoever receives you, receives me. Whoever receives me, receives the one who sent me. The last, the 10th remark. When you give a cup of water, he says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose the reward. Even if you do the smallest thing from now on, like giving a cup of water to anyone, you are doing it as my disciple. Not in your name, in my name. Not in your authority, but in my authority. The end result of a discipleship is not building up our denomination. It is not building up our church. It is not building up our ministry or our name. It is all about Jesus. All of our agendas, diversities, all of our statuses or classes will shrink and will diminish. It becomes all about Jesus. Matthew 10, the handbook of discipleship, according to Matthew, stated by Jesus. These 10 highlights, the common denominator in all those is Jesus, 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 Jesus. It started with 12 names. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, you see 12 names. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, you see only one name. That name is a disciple. All their names shrunk. All their history shrunk. Sons of Zebedee from higher class. Peter, Andrew from lower class. Matthew, tax collector. Simon, a zealot. They come from all kinds of diverse background. They come into Jesus. They shrunk and they diminished. And it becomes all about Jesus. And their name become a disciple. And the role is to diminish who we are. Be unstoppable. Carry your cross. Follow him and serve him. Because we are people under instruction. If we violate this instruction, we will go through so much pain and suffering. And if we follow this instruction, we will be fruitful. And the fruit of everything we do is the visibility and the glorification of our Lord and our God, and the diminishing of our role in our name. Go and live a life of a disciple and make disciples, as Jesus said, in Jesus' name. And if you love it, shout amen 3 times.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.